Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far. Exhibition games start today in the National Hockey League. The Penguins and the Flyers will get started at 3 o'clock our time. That game will be shown on NBC Sports Network. The Leafs and Canadiens after that on NHL Network, and the Oilers and Flames on NHL Network as well. So those are the three exhibition games that you can watch today. The Predators and Stars will be first up, and you will hear all the action right here on 102.5 The Game on Thursday. That has a 3 o'clock puck drop, and that will be you can watch that as well on Fox Sports Tennessee. Is that correct, Willie? No pregame?
No pregame.
No pregame. So 3 o'clock puck drop.
3 o'clock, Fox Sports Tennessee.
Thursday. Sean Shapiro covers the Dallas Stars.
In fact, I was just
looking
at our game plan of our meetings, and we're going to be doing some of that the next couple of days. In fact, I think Chase was part of it too. The NHL had a big conference call with the broadcasters explaining kind of the lay of the land of how they're going to send us the feed and everything like that. So it's coming. Exciting times.
Indeed it is. Let's learn about the opponent and how they're going into this return to play. Sean Shapiro covers the Stars for The Athletic, is on the line with us. Sean, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Did you ever think we would get to this point 4+ months later?
I'll be honest. I was a little bit more pessimistic, just and not that I didn't want it to return, but I was a little bit more pessimistic with where with how everything kind of shut down and everything. And so it's nice to it's nice to be talking hockey right now. I mean, it was just one of those crazy things where it's funny we're going to see Dallas and Nashville start things up again, because I feel like so much of the 2020 season for Dallas has been defined about, you think about Dallas and Nashville going all the way back to, I mean, Winter Classic feels like 7 years ago now, but it's kind of fitting that these two teams are going to have played in both January and July somehow.
Isn't that crazy? You're right. The Winter Classic, which we were there, it does. It feels like it was another year. I mean, this is the same calendar year. It is hard to believe that that was just back on January 1. It feels like so long ago. So am I safe to assume you're in Dallas, you're not in Edmonton, or am I wrong?
No, yeah, you're safe to assume that I am in Dallas. We obviously, with how the NHL has decided to handle the media access, even if you do go to Alberta or Toronto, there's no in-person access available. And for me personally, I can do the same job from my living room, and
yep,
I can also not have to spend quarantine for 14 days and be away from the family when I really can't do my job more effectively there. So yeah, I'm still in Dallas. Got the living room. I got my home office with the TV set up. I've got my own coffee, and now I'm trying, during the day, I'm trying to run the toddler ragged tired so I can watch some hockey at 3 o'clock today with maybe during her nap time.
Outstanding. So we got a chance to do our show last week at Bridgestone Arena and the week before at Bridgestone Arena around the Predators training camp. And we kind of just took away our observations from what John Hines, head coach, was trying to do, and then getting them back, getting their legs back, getting them ramped up for what's about to take place in Edmonton. What did you observe with the Stars training camp?
Yeah, Dallas was really interesting, and I think this is something that maybe you saw a little bit with, you may have seen some of this with Nashville, where it's the Stars have a different coach than running training camp than they did back in September. So we got to see a Rick Bowness-led training camp. Obviously, Rick was here when it was an assistant and before the whole Jim Montgomery getting let go mid-season. But we got to see kind of the first training camp with Rick Bowness running things. And the thing we saw with the Stars, one of the biggest focuses was, how does this team squeeze out some more offense? They're not going to become a run-and-gun team or anything like that. But this team, obviously, you don't want to be the 27th-ranked offensive team in the NHL. You want to be scoring more than 2.61 goals per game. So it was a big focus on that, of how do we create more offensively? How do we kind of get more offensive juice out of everything? And one of the big things I think we'll see with the Stars, and if they are successful in that manner, and we saw a lot of it in camp, is can their defensemen activate more and be more of that fourth, act like a fourth forward on the rush, joining the play, consistently. We've seen it happen. The Stars have had some success with it through the year with John Klingberg and Miro Heiskanen, but the Stars want to give the green light more to all of their defensemen as we return to play, just as it's kind of, hey, chances there, join the rush. We want to get the numbers there. That's probably going to be the it's not a major change, but that's the change, biggest change we'll probably see offensively. There'll be some tweaking, playing around line combinations, but at the end of the day, the Stars are a team that if they're going to go deep in this tournament and if they're going to have success, it's going to come back from that defensive identity where they're going to win some low scoring games, low event hockey, and they're going to be built off their defensive structure.
Something we talked about is just the approach of John Hines in this exhibition game and how he would handle the goaltenders. How would that play out? Because the Predators are in a different situation. They're going to start on Sunday, and it's going to count. Mm-hmm. Dallas is going into a round-robin situation where, yes, it counts for seeding, but if you lose, you're not going home. The Predators don't get it done. They're coming back home, so it's a different approach. How do you think Dallas is going to approach this exhibition game on Thursday, and how do you think their coaching staff will approach a round-robin tournament and not a qualifying round?
Well, I think one of the things that really fascinates me about these exhibition games, particularly like the ones between Dallas and Nashville, where one's going into a playoff series and one's going into a round robin, is the fact that I think the teams like Nashville, they're going to be the ones that get to set the tone more so for what this exhibition game is. Because I think while the coaches say, well, the Dallas coaching staff obviously wants to win, and that's the big message. Everything's important, but they know that their biggest thing to come out of that Thursday game is stay healthy, get both goalies some action, and be ready for that soft opening of a round robin. Nashville obviously needs to be ready to have their season on the line. So I think a team like Nashville, if Nashville wants to ratchet up the intensity, I think Dallas will match it. If Nashville treats it more like a typical preseason game, I think Dallas will match that intensity. I think there's more of an onus on that team that has their season on the line in 3-4 days after this game to set what this preseason game will look like. I think Dallas is going to be more so of, let's work on some special teams. Let's get Ben Bishop 2 periods of action. Let's get Anton Khudobin some action just in case. Let's get everyone healthy and just get the legs moving. But whether we win or lose, we know no matter what, on August 11th or 12th, whatever day it is, we have our real playoff starts then. So we're trying to win in the round robin, but the round robin is really about gearing up to be ready for that first real playoff game.
Talking to Sean Shapiro, he does an excellent job covering the Dallas Stars for The Athletic. I enjoyed, Sean, the scoop that you got. Apparently the Wi-Fi in the hotel needs a little work out in Edmonton.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one that's, if you watched the Stars Zoom availability yesterday, it wasn't much of a scoop. It's one where we had Tyler Seguin, Joe Pavelski, John Klingberg on, and then Stars interim coach Rick Bowness. And I think they gave some insightful answers, but I honestly don't know, because we asked questions via Zoom, and their response is, we heard maybe every third word, and so I don't really know what they actually said. I mean, you could try to piece it together, but yeah, just doing some reaching out and talking and finding out some players in the bubble. One of the things that obviously these players are going into this bubble with plans to spend a long time there, and so you had a lot of guys bringing video game systems and computers and everything like that. And I know one of the first things many of the players did when they got into the Edmonton was try to hook up the Xbox, the PlayStation, whatever. And the internet speed was not nearly fast enough for what the level of gaming that these guys plan to try and play with friends at home or whatever it is, or even just play with other guys on the same internet in the same room. So, yeah, it is funny seeing that. And it's also funny seeing kind of, You listen around and it sounds like in Toronto, that's the one edge to the Toronto bubble so far, I guess, where the Wi-Fi's been humming along a little bit better in Toronto.
John, what do you think? I'm looking at your article with the line combinations, and mm-hmm. these two teams are so familiar with one another, going back to the playoffs last year and, you know, some high profile games this past season. They got all four of their regular season matches. And I was actually just going through it myself. And for example, as they sagged a bit at the end, right before the pause, I saw Alexander Radulov. I guess he got sick or got benched. Justin Dowling was in there. What do you think is the best way to deploy the top forwards for Dallas? What has worked the best for him, and how much do you think they might tinker with it during this time that they have?
Yeah, I think one of the big things for the Stars is figuring out, and I think it's one of the keys for the playoff run, is figuring out how do they get the best version of Joe Pavelski, because I think that's one of the things that one of the reasons Dallas went out and signed Joe Pavelski was they didn't score enough goals in the playoffs last year in that St. Louis series. They didn't score enough goals in general, and the Pavelski signing has not net the goals they expected. And so, for me, Ben Sagan-Radulov is one of the most exciting lines in hockey when all three are clicked, and I think that's something that you definitely need to keep in your back pocket. But I really like what they've been trying to do in getting Alexander Radulov and Joe Pavelski as a line there, getting them playing. And they played every day in training camp. They skated together yesterday. I imagine they'll skate together on Thursday in the exhibition game. Because Joe Pavelski is the type of player who needs a possession-style player who can draw attention away. And Joe Pavelski has made an entire career of being that poacher, being in the right spot at the right time and finishing. And obviously for a decade plus, he did it with Joe Thornton. And Stars don't have anyone like Joe Thornton, and you can't expect anyone to be like Joe Thornton. But I think Alexander Radulov is that type of possession player that can be chaotic and can run things and allow Pavelski to kind of slip through the cracks and get to those areas where he can score those big goals. So to me, that's kind of I like Ben and Sagan staying together. I like Pavelski and Radulov staying together. I think something you have to just figure out is who's the third forward for each of those lines as you kind of find the best fit.
We're talking to Sean Shapiro of The Athletic, and I want to go back to Rick Bowness for a second because you brought him up earlier in this interview. I mean, what is the future for him? Is he probably going to be the guy? They're going to take the interim tag off. Does he want to be like what does that look like moving forward for him?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because Rick is 65. He's the oldest head coach in the NHL. He has the interim tag, and it's one of those where when he signed on, and he told us this. He signed on. He woke up one morning, got told Jim Montgomery was getting fired for non-hockey reasons, and all of a sudden he's in charge, and he agreed to handle the ship till the end. And I think it's one of those things where Rick still has to decide, and if he has decided, he hasn't told us what his future wants to look like for himself. I don't know if he wants to be an NHL head coach. I don't know if he wants to go back to just – he's been very successful as an assistant, so I don't really know what Rick wants. That's one of the big parts. And then the other thing, and just kind of the timing of how all of this changes, the Stars are at a point where with what the shutdown has done is it's created such a small window before the 2021 season. You don't have a ton of time to, especially if the Stars go on a deep run, you don't have a ton of time to really change things and do a big coaching search. So I think the longer the Stars are in, if they win a round or two, or certainly if they win two, I think Rick Bowness is the head coach to start next year. And I don't think he's obviously 65. So as I said, I don't think he's the long-term solution where 3 years from now, Rick Bowness is the head coach, but he could have that title removed depending on how long this playoff run goes. And I think that's how Jim Neal will make his decision on whether he goes, am I going to do a big search or is Rick the guy? It's a really fascinating thing to play out because you typically don't have the interim tag for the reason the Stars have, and you hardly ever have an interim coach take over a team that is doing well like Dallas was.
Something that we've done with the Predators roster and kind of talked about is, okay, we know that this guy, maybe he gets off to a slower start than this guy, and that could be a concern with a five-game series that the Predators have. Now, a little different with Dallas, but is there a guy that you're concerned with that they know they're going to need him right away, but he typically has a slower start?
It's not as much of – I just look at what happened to start this season where – and it hasn't been historically that way, but you look at Dallas started this year, and once again, we talked about the Winter Classic feeling like years ago. This feels like even longer ago. Dallas had that one 7-1 start to start the year, and a big part of that was Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin started off really slow. And I think that's one of the kind of concerns that for Dallas coming into this is, can Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin come in and start strong? Was their performance in October, along with the rest of the teams, was that an anomaly? Is that something where we have to be concerned about them starting slow? I think that's really the big thing I circle is, what will Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn be to start? Because I think they're on a potential positive standpoint. I think you guys saw with Nashville last year how effective Jamie Benn was in that series against the Predators. Well, he started to wear down against St. Louis, and he had the buildup of an 82-game season and wear and tear on him. Jamie Benn's got 4 months where he's been rested and healthy, and we could see the best version of Jamie Benn. I just don't know how quickly he can get going and get started. So to me, that's kind of the thing, is how quickly can those two biggest names get going? Because a lot of the other guys really feed off those two anyway.
Do you think that the Stars have gotten what they were looking for in a player like Corey Perry? And I know I don't mean what happened in the Winter Classic, but the physicality and what, you know, the pest that he can be. Preds fans are cringing right now, but have they gotten what they were looking for in bringing him in to add a little bit of that to this team?
Yes and no. I mean, it's something where Corey Perry had a real rough start to the season, then obviously he had the massive walk of shame in the Cotton Bowl, and so that's kind of defined his season, and it's definitely something that has not been the success that you would have hoped for with the name Corey Perry. But when you stop and you think that the Stars signed him on a low risk, high reward based off a incentive type deal, I think it's been exactly what you wanted for a forward that can move up and down the line, that can be a little bit of a pest. We've seen some of those goal scoring moments. He still has that. The hands haven't gone away while the rest of the game may have slowed down. So it's the signing, the Corey Perry signing I've always looked at. It's the signing that Jim Neal went out and got thinking, I want that guy on my bench in the locker room when we're in double overtime in April. And I think that's still how this signing will ultimately be judged, because it's going to be what he does in the playoffs. But as far as the regular season goes, for the low risk, there wasn't much reward, but for what the risk was, it worked out for Dallas.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're glad it's back. We'll get a taste of it today, tomorrow, and then, of course, Thursday when the Predators and Stars do their exhibition game. And then, hey, we got hockey sun up to sundown all weekend long. Sean, really appreciate the visit as always. Thanks for the info, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, it's been fun, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Sean Shapiro covers the Stars for The Athletic and does a really good job. I was looking at one of his tweets. It was pretty interesting, him putting out the average age. This is according to, I guess, the PR for the Stars, the average age of all the rosters, of all the teams, you know, that are at the hub cities.
Mm-hmm.
And so have you guys looked at this? Have you cheated?
I have not.
Or
no.
Would you like to play along without cheating?
Let's play along.
Okay.
Who is the oldest team?
Who is the oldest team?
Are we doing this now or when we come back?
Yeah, no, right now. We're gonna talk for a little bit, and then we're gonna have Jessica Mendoza. We're gonna talk some baseball with her at the bottom of the hour. Who's the oldest team, average age of their roster? Oldest team in either Toronto or Edmonton. So these are the teams that are gonna be playing.
The Nashville Predators are right up there.
Yeah, that was gonna be my guess, and I have not cheated, but I know that they're one of the older teams. So I'll say them. I'll say the Preds.
That's what I will say too.
Okay. Interesting that you guys both said that. They are the second oldest team.
Ooh.
So, well done. But there's actually one team that's a little bit older by average age. It's an Eastern Conference team.
Yeah, okay. Eastern Conference.
In the East, the older team...
Montreal?
No, Montreal is one of the younger teams.
Pittsburgh Penguins.
The Pittsburgh Penguins are the third oldest team, so they are right behind Nashville.
Caps?
Capitals.
The Capitals are the sixth oldest team. So Preds, second oldest. Pittsburgh, Capitals are sixth. So you're missing the one, the four, and five.
The one, the four, and the five.
Well, because of Chara, it's probably
the
Bruins. I didn't think about him.
Actually, the Bruins are in the middle of the pack. I honestly thought you would say that early on, and I would have said that would have been a good guess because I would have said the same thing. They're in the middle of the pack.
I don't think it's Philadelphia.
Stunning.
Philadelphia is right around Boston. They're actually even younger than Boston.
Yeah, I would not have guessed.
Carolina?
Philly's got fairly. No, can't be.
Carolina's. Mm-hmm. Carolina is one of the younger teams. They're a little bit older than Montreal.
Man, you've stumped us.
I know. There's one obvious. None of these are really, but they're actually this one. I think I'm surprised you guys haven't thrown this one out there. I mean, it's a team year in and year out. They're always there. So
Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa. Tampa's the fourth oldest.
Tampa's older, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fourth oldest.
So we still haven't named number one.
So you haven't named one or five. Five is
number one is.
Go, Willie.
We've guessed half the teams. All right.
One is Eastern Conference. Five is Predators Division.
Okay, so five might be the Blues.
No.
Winnipeg.
No.
The Dallas?
Team we just talked about, Dallas?
No.
Minnesota?
Wow.
You're going to get it eventually. Yes, it's Minnesota. The Minnesota Wild are the fifth oldest team.
Okay.
So you still haven't gotten the Eastern Conference oldest team in their return to play.
Islanders?
Barry Trotz and Company, the New York Islanders. Yep.
I was thinking
they've got a lot
about
of veterans towards the bottom. Veterans towards the bottom of the lineup. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of ways, though, that you can scrutinize age. Like when you have Chara, he's going to skew it. Right, so that shows you how young the rest of their roster is, because you know they've still got Krejci and Bergeron and some guys that have been there for a long, long time. But they've got a lot of young players too. So it's like the blend of the youth and the veterans is the key. So the Predators' core is more in their upper 20s now rather than the lower 20s. I think that's what puts them up there. Plus, you have guys like Dan Hamhuis and Pekka Rinne that are up, you know, in mid to high 30s. Which brings that average up some, too.
They're the same age, right?
So, 36, going on 37, something like that?
Yep.
Because I think their birthdays are close together.
All right, who's the youngest team?
Colorado?
No.
That's a good one. Well, that was a good
Colorado's
guess.
Colorado's, like, closer to the middle. They're not middle of the pack. They're on the younger side, but they're probably eight teams away from
I guess as I think about it, they actually added some veterans from last year to this past year. This is good, Darren. This is a good exercise because it's working the rust off where we left off. Is Toronto among the youngest?
I would
Toronto,
say
how young their core is.
Toronto is the third youngest.
Okay, Arizona.
No, Phil Kessel's 49, so that pushes them way down. So they're actually one of the older teams. Or maybe he just looks old.
He kind of looks old.
He's not really that old. He just looks old.
I'm not, I mean.
Rangers?
The Rangers, you're on a roll. That's the second oldest, or second youngest team. So the Leafs are the third youngest team. The Rangers are the second youngest.
Is it Western?
You have not named the youngest.
Is it Western?
I'm not giving you any more hints.
Vancouver.
Good guess.
It's a good guess, but Vancouver is more on the older side.
Really?
Carolina.
Nope. I already told you.
Yeah.
Carolina was on the younger side, but they're not. They are just behind Colorado.
I don't know.
Youngest.
This is.
You haven't even mentioned this team yet.
The Oilers.
Haven't even guessed the team yet.
Edmonton?
Nope. Edmonton is on the younger side. They're right behind Carolina. So Colorado, Carolina, then Edmonton, then Montreal. Then Columbus, then Toronto, then the Rangers, and then this team that you've still yet to
Florida?
Even guess. Nope, middle of the pack.
Yeah, Florida sucks. It's middle of the pack.
Columbus?
Youngest.
I just told you Columbus is right after Toronto. So Columbus, Toronto, Rangers, and then the youngest team.
Columbus, Toronto, Rangers.
This is why this is fun, because I knew you were never going to get this. Because we have one thing in our head, because we've said it so many times. But it's not true.
You're going to say it's Chicago.
Yeah, because we always say, well, they look old.
There's
right?
no
we,
way.
How many times do we say, they look old and slow? Old
right.
and slow.
Well, yeah, and the guys that they have.
Remember,
they have a lot of young
cap.
Guys that they're
They've had to dump because of the salary cap.
Chicago.
Chicago Blackhawks. Chicago, youngest team.
There Here we go. Are racking our brains, and it's...
I knew you guys weren't going to get it.
Yeah.
All right, we will come back, talk a little baseball with Jessica Mendoza, ESPN. We'll do that on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.